Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before God at this time. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this Lord's Day and for bringing us safely here. We pray, Father, that as we have assembled ourselves together, that you would now meet with us. For we have assembled in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, claiming the promise that we meet with our God and that he meets with us, that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be able to worship you in spirit and in truth, that Jesus Christ would be glorified, for he is worthy. And we pray, Father, that because of the work of your Spirit and your Word, that when we leave here this morning, we'll be more like Christ than we were when we entered. Accomplish this, we pray. In the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Turn to the back to the Nicene Creed, page 846. Let's confess to God the faith that he's revealed to us in his word. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, for the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our scripture text is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 29. So let's turn there. John 10, verses 1 through 29. Let's hear the word of God. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he who is a hireling and not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. That's the Feast of Hanukkah, by the way. Okay. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you're the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you're not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. May Christ bless the reading of his word to us all this morning. And let's go together before him in prayer at this time. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks again for the Sabbath day and for the opportunity, Father, to meet with you and to hear your voice, to be filled, we hope and pray, with your Holy Spirit, that he may teach us, that he may take his word, he being the one, the instrument by which we have the word, that he would take it and use it in our minds and our hearts, that he would change the way that we think, that he would change the way that we feel, and that he would change the way that we act. That, Father, that confession we prayed earlier would not need to be made, at least in exactly the same way, next Lord's Day, because you, through your Spirit and through the Word, have spoken to us this day and have made some change in us. You have altered us. You have brought us into closer conformity to your Son. We pray that you would achieve that here in our midst this morning. Speak to us now, Father. Let us hear your voice as we've assembled together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I believe it was Thursday night, 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, whatever that would be. I was unable to sleep. It was about 2 in the morning at the hospital. When I'm in with that belly problem, I'm up a lot late at night. Usually walking. It's about the only thing I can do to make my stomach start working again, particularly since they've taken drugs away from me. And I remember doing some devotions, reading the Word and praying, which I rejoice because frequently when I'm sick, I can't do that. I mean, I read the Bible and read it again and again and again, and I still don't even know what I've read more often than not. And I try to pray and my mind wanders because I can't concentrate. And that's a really frustrating thing. And I know I sent out an email to a lot of people asking for people to pray for me because it's so frustrating to be sick and not have any sign that's been of any value to me whatsoever. Now, I've been reading that Princeton Seminary book and reading how Samuel Miller was very, very ill, almost died before he went and took his job at Princeton Seminary. And it was a time of great spiritual blessing to him. And that just frustrated me all the more because I was sick and getting no spiritual blessings whatsoever. And, you know, Lord, at least make this useful. If I got to be sick doing all these nasty things and unable to be useful, then at least make this some kind of a blessing. And this time, perhaps because more people prayed for me, I don't know. But this time, I was able to read more, to pray, to study. Couldn't do a lot, but I was able to do some and felt some blessings. And then there was that evening, as I was sitting there praying and reading, and at some point, somehow, I don't remember exactly now how this worked out, it came to my mind how when I'm absent, I guess I was thinking about Mark coming on Sunday and filling the pulpit, after I've been absent and I return and come and get back in the pulpit, there are a number of people who will come up to me and say, "Oh, we're really glad to have you back. It's so good to have you back and to hear." And that, of course, you know, feels good. You know, maybe the head swells a little bit more. I have to wear extra large or 2X heads. It's not because I have so much hair anymore. I guess it's got a fat head. And this makes it just a little bit tighter, those hats. And it feels so good. It really does. I really appreciate that. But as I sat there in my hospital room thinking about it, all I could think of was this. God forbid that you come here to hear me. I mean that. It is a sin for you to come here to hear me or any other man. Whether it's Mark or Warren, one of our elders, Bart, Steve Doe filled in for me. He was already scheduled to fill in for me that Sunday in June. And praise the Lord, because I was sick again. I don't know if I could have preached anyway, but thank God Steve was here. I enjoyed hearing him. But God forbid it! God forbid it, my brothers and sisters, that you come to hear me. You are to be here to hear Christ, not Roy, not Mark, not Warren, not Bart. Christ. Did you hear these words as we read John chapter 10? Listen to them again. To him the doorkeeper opens. This is verse 3. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. What's the point? It's interesting that verse 6 says Jesus used this illustration. I don't know the original Greek word. I didn't bother checking that out. But then he says in verse 7 and verse 9, "I am the door." Explain the parable. "I am the door," he says, twice. And then he turns around and says in verse 11, and I think this is really good for understanding parables, he says, "I'm the good shepherd." You see, in other words, I'm the door of that story, and I'm the shepherd in that story. He's illustrated twice in two different means by that same parable. So there's a double fulfillment, if you want, or a double application. And when he says that he's the good shepherd the second time in verse 14, he says, "And I know my sheep, and am known by my own." And then in verse 16 he says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold." Obviously he's referring to Gentiles. "Them also I must bring, and they will," future tense, "they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." We don't know for sure exactly how much of a break is there between verse 21 and verse 22. But in 22, during Hanukkah, he goes up to Jerusalem. It's winter, because guess what? Hanukkah takes place in December. Jesus is in the temple. The Jews surround him and start penning him in again, you know. When are you going to speak to us truly? And he says, picking up, this is why John no doubt has it here, picking up from the same illustration, "You do not believe because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me." Why is it that God forbid you should listen to Roy or come to hear Roy? Because again, are you Roy's sheep or Christ's sheep? Which is it? If you are a follower of Roy Miller, you are a fool. You're to be a follower of Jesus Christ and listen to Him. I love the story of the Transfiguration. I really identify with Peter. Peter and I seem to have some of the same basic character flaws, one of which is, when in doubt, talk. There he is with James and John, and Jesus is transfigured before them into his heavenly glory, and Moses and Elijah appear, no doubt with their own heavenly glory that we'll have when we're there. And Peter says, "Lord, it's good to be here." And what a stupid thing to say. You know, "Lord, it's good to be here." Well, duh, Peter. Just shut your yap. In fact, God Himself tells him to shut his yap in the very next verse. While he was still speaking, notice that. This is Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him!" And Peter, you can't hear very well when you're talking. Shut up and listen. Shut up and listen to Christ. Remember, for those of you who were at Sunday school, we went through some of these questions in the larger catechism. And in this, we read that, how is the Word made effectual to salvation? The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit that Christ has sent, that other Comforter that Christ has sent, that other Comforter that Christ sent, who will speak of Christ. He's the one who makes the reading and the preaching of the Word useful. Hear Him. Hear Him. For those who are sinners and not yet saved, He enlightens, convinces, and humbles them. He drives them out of themselves and draws them to Christ. For those sinners who have already come to Christ, the confession, the catechism continues. For those of us who have already come to Christ, He conforms them to His image, subdues them to His will, conquers us. He strengthens them against temptations and corruptions, builds them up in grace, establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. And that's all accomplished through the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word. But you don't come to hear the preacher. You come to hear Christ speaking to you through His Word and His Spirit. He's the one who enables us to get anything out of it. One of the profound differences between preaching and reading is in the reading, as it says in our Directory for the Public Worship of God, God speaks directly. He doesn't speak quite so directly through the preaching. Why? My personality's in the way now. My way of phrasing things, my way of illustrating. I had a conversation with someone this week who is teaching Sunday school in a church. And in that Sunday school class, he referred to experience he had at another church somewhere else. And in this past week, someone came to him and said, "Well, you know, in our group, we don't do that kind of thing. We don't use those kind of illustrations. We don't use personal references." And he said, "Well, Roy, you certainly do, and that's probably a weakness. I probably do far too much of it. The best illustrations, I would say, come from the Word. But illustrations from my life or your life or from history are all valid." Look again at that passage we read. Jesus illustrated with a story He made up. He made it up. It's not a true story. But He made it up because it made the point. So yes, there are my illustrations, my history, my stories that my kids have heard so many times they roll their eyes when they happen again. One of the things I love about my granddaughter, she asks me to tell her true stories. I get to tell her the stories that everyone else has heard and some that my kids have never heard. Last time she asked me that, I said, I can't think of one, Danae. Do you want to hear one again? She wanted to hear about pancakes, right? If you want to hear about it, talk to me afterwards. But the point is that there are my personal experiences, which I hope, and the reason I mention them, I hope they help you understand the word a little bit better. But don't come to hear Roy. Come to hear Christ. We need to listen to Christ and His Word. We need to be careful when we listen to ministers. Because there's not one minister who ever will stand behind this or any other pulpit who is not a flawed, failed, sinful man. I am a sinner saved by grace. And I'm a sinner who's not as sanctified as he ought to be. And I never will be until I'm in heaven. I have been wrong before. I'm probably wrong now occasionally. I hope I'm not as wrong as I used to be. I've made changes in my theology because I found out that I was wrong in the Word. But we need to hear again, not the minister, but to hear Christ speaking in and through and around that minister. There was a news piece that came out just a few weeks ago. A Willow Creek church and Bill Hybels. That is a humongous church with a huge campus. They spend millions of dollars and they have tens of thousands of people showing up. And they have produced Sunday school literature and they've produced all kinds of things about how you can follow the Willow Creek model and you can do things the way they do. And you too can have a big, huge building. And American churches are following them like lemmings. And you know what's really interesting about that? Just a few weeks ago, they came out and announced, we were wrong. We have spent millions of dollars and thousands of hours doing certain things, and they didn't produce any mature believers. The mature believers we've had have happened where we haven't spent any money and spent almost no efforts. Because they concentrated where churches have never concentrated, and they ignored where churches used to concentrate, and where things like that happened accidentally, that's where they've actually seen maturity. Now, I'm glad that they're honest enough to admit that they made a mistake. The problem is the way they're going to try to deal with that mistake. They mentioned, as almost a tip of the hat, well, we need to go back to the Bible, but they've also mentioned we need to do more sociological surveys, we need to do more surveys in the sense of polling people and do all kinds of other interesting things, rather than going to the Word and to the Word alone and finding out what they're supposed to do from the Word. I have no doubt that Bill Hybels loves the Lord and wants to do what's best for his church and to advance the kingdom. I have no doubt that that's his motivation. And I'm not going to attack him for it. But brothers and sisters, Bill Hybels, like Roy Miller, is a sinner and is flawed. If you were to hear Bill Hybels preach, don't listen to Bill Hybels. Listen to Jesus Christ. Last Sunday morning, I sat over there somewhere while Mark was speaking. And while Mark was speaking, and I was paying as close attention as I could to him, those are my notes. Not notes so much on Mark's sermon. This is another sermon, which someday you may have to endure hearing. Because while Mark was preaching, I was listening to Mark, but also trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. And things that Mark said and scriptures that Mark read gave me this. Now, there's a lot more work before this is fit to preach, okay? Because it was listening to Christ speak through Mark that I have this. And in my experience riding a pew, if I had my old New American Standard, I could show it to you. The best things I've learned were when my pastor was moved by the Holy Spirit of God to point out a reference or to make a comment, and listening not to the preacher, number one, but to the Spirit of God speaking through him, I was sometimes led to go elsewhere, and for a few minutes I'm kind of dropped out as I'm listening to the Spirit of God, open up the Word to me. Some of the greatest spiritual blessings I've had have, you might call it a daydream in a sense, because I'm not, you know, all of a sudden the pastor's tuned out as the Spirit of God speaks to me directly. That, by the way, is the best application anyone can ever have. Pastors are supposed to prepare applications in their sermons, and we should do that. We should do it well. Frankly, it's one of the weaknesses in my own sermon preparation. But it's part of a weakness because I know one thing. The best application is the one that the Holy Spirit makes in your heart and in your mind from His Word, not from my mouth. Brothers and sisters, when we come here together, we need to be preparing. In fact, what is required of those that hear the Word preached? Question 160 in the larger catechism. It is required of those that hear the Word preached that they attend upon it with diligence. Last Sunday morning, when I sat right back near where Janet is, it's hard work. Diligence means to discipline your mind so that I wasn't wondering how badly are the Eagles going to beat the Seahawks when in fact, of course, they lost. I shouldn't be thinking about it at all. And I disciplined my mind to not think about the Eagles. To not think about the meal. What was it we ate? I don't even remember. It's probably something good. Janet usually makes, that's how I got so fat. She's such a good cook. To not think about those things. To not think about, you know, I had to speak to a certain little blondie who couldn't sit still and be quiet. We need to discipline our children. We need to discipline our minds. To attend upon it with diligence, with preparation. That means before we come on Sunday morning, before we go to bed on Saturday night, to spend time in the Word and in prayer, to pray for the pastor, the preacher, who's going to be there the next morning, if it's me or if it's Mark or Warren or whatever. When I'm gone in January, I've got to call him. We're going to ask Warren to come and preach. If Warren can't, we'll probably ask Bart Molesman to come and preach. But whoever's going to be here, that's one Sunday I'm gone. We need to be praying for him that night before, if not for the whole week before. We need to be praying for ourselves that God will open our eyes and our ears. We need to pray for that Sunday morning. When we're here and the organ is playing, that's usually a clue that we should take the time to stop visiting, as important as that is, and God, speak to me this morning. Prayer. Well, we've just done that. To examine what they hear by the Scriptures, because what Roy Miller has to say isn't nearly as important as what Jesus has to say. Have I taught aright? I know for a fact that in the early years of my ministry, I taught things that I now know are not true. And I also know that when I taught them, I worked hard to try to make sure I was right. But that's okay. I was a Baptist and I didn't know any better. Now I do. Praise God, someday I'll be a Presbyterian who knows even better than I know now. Examine. Remember again, when Paul preached to the Bereans, they didn't believe him until they checked him out according to the Scriptures. And that they were praised for. Don't listen to any preacher and take anything he says until you check it against the Word. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the Word of God. When what he does say is true, then receive it with joy because it is the Word of God. Meditate and confer of it. That is, take the time to get together with other Christians and talk about it. Not because what Roy Miller has to say is so terribly important, but because what Christ has said through Roy Miller is terribly important. So think about it, on your own and with others. Hide it in your hearts. In my New American Standard, the one I bought in 1973, first edition, it's worn out and it's got nasty pages on it, I have notes written down from things that my pastor Heinrich used to say and other preachers I've heard. I made little notes. When they said something that, wow, that's brilliant, or that's precious, I would jot them down on the flyleaf of my Bible. Because they're important. I remember something, was it Heinrich? It was Heinrich. That the change that will happen when Christ returns for some people will be so drastic it could cause a heart attack. You know, like jumping in a cold pool of water. That the change of night and day change from what we were to what we will be at the last trump. That's astonishing. And it's insightful. And it's true. Hide it in your hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in your lives. To listen to Christ as he speaks through the man who's standing behind the pulpit. To listen for the voice of Christ. To hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit whispering in your mind, yes, listen to this. This is true. The story about the pancakes is silly. Listen to this. This is the word of Christ. This is for you. Listen. Hear it. Regardless of who's behind the pulpit. I know there are better preachers than I'll ever be. And I know, unfortunately, that there are worse preachers than I am. But even the worst preacher, if he is bringing a message from Christ, has something for me and for you to hear. Because it's a message that Christ has for us. Let's hear it. And having heard it, let's hide it in our hearts. Let's treasure it. Let's bring it out and think upon it and chew upon it. And then let it change us and bring us into greater conformity with Jesus Christ. Because that's why we're here. Not to hear Roy, but to hear Christ. We don't gather here primarily to see one another, as precious as that is. We gather here to meet with our God. Let's hear him. And let's live for him in the week to come. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before him at this time. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for your word, for your Son, who is indeed your word in flesh, who has sent the Spirit, that the word might be inscripturated, that we can read it and study it, memorize it, meditate upon it. We thank you, Father, that you have blessed the foolishness of preaching, as Paul has told us. That you've used it to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, to build us up in the faith. We pray, Father, that when a foolish man, a flawed foolish man, stands behind this desk, and it's usually this flawed foolish man, that Christ would speak through him. That he, with his spite of his foolishness and his flaws and his sins and his errors, that he would help us, including himself, to understand the word better, to see the truths that are there, and understand how it should change the way we think and feel and act. That we would indeed hear God speaking through him and speaking within us. That when we leave, Father, your Spirit and your Word would have changed us, brought us into closer conformity to Christ, and enabled us and strengthened us and encouraged us to live for Christ in the week to come. And in this week to come, Father, I pray that we would prepare ourselves for the hearing of the word next week, and we would take that which Christ has said to us this day and put it into action. I pray this of you in Christ's own precious name. Amen.